Hello, and welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we have a show dedicated to Mother's Day. We have two wonderful sitcoms with a Mother's Day theme. First, we have an episode of Our Miss Brooks, with Eve Arden playing the high school English teacher, who is overworked, underpaid, and unloved by the man she has set her cap for, Mr. Boynton. Things are looking up for our Miss Brooks in this episode when she has an opportunity to help several people have a happy Mother's Day. Eve Arden continued her role as Connie Brooks on television as the age of radio wound down. Enjoy Our Miss Brooks, first broadcast May 13th, 1951 on CBS.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Palmolive Shave Creams for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, in the daily life of Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, teaching itself only takes up a portion of her time. This leaves a number of free hours each day to pursue an outside interest.
But it doesn't leave quite enough free hours, especially since my outside interest refuses to stand still long enough for me to drop a net over him. In fact, lately, I've even considered taking up another outside activity besides Mr. Boynton. Like the one my landlady began recently. Mrs. Davis was quite reticent about her hobby until last Wednesday morning at breakfast, when she gave me a broad hint.
Notice anything different about the table this morning, Connie?
Well, the big catsup stain in front of my place is gone.
It's under your egg cup, dear. Yes, again.
Oh, of course. The big bowl of apples in the center. What a delicious display.
I'm glad you like it, Connie. It's a hat.
Who designed it? William Tell?
No, I did. You probably don't know this, but years ago, I used to design hats like mad.
Why, you mad hatter, you. I never would have suspected. You seem so normal in some other respects.
Well, I haven't had the yen in years, but last week my brother Victor sent me some samples of the material his firm makes, and you know my brother Victor, don't you?
I've heard you speak of him quite often.
He's a peculiar man, Victor. Rather a slow-moving type of fellow, but once he gets interested in something, he follows right through. The last couple of years, he's been up to his ears in plastics.
No wonder he's slow-moving. But what has plastic got to do with your designing hats again?
That's what they're made of. I'll bet you never even noticed that this is really two hats in one.
Two in one?
Yes. Worn this way, it looks like a bowl of apples. But when you turn it around like this, it's a sparrow.
Well, what a novel idea. If you're out with a man you like, you tempt him with an apple. And if your date is a drip, he gets the bird.
I've got four of them all made up so far. They should be easy to sell with Mother's Day coming this Sunday.
Well, I don't know, Mrs. Davis. They're a bit unusual for popular consumption, I'm afraid.
Not if they're presented right, Connie. And that's where you come in. I want you to help me sell them at school.
Me?
Yes. If you sell all four of them, I'll deduct half of the back rent you owe me.
Oh.
And it shouldn't be difficult to sell them. It isn't as if they were hard to move.
Not if the wind is right. Of course, if I could reduce my debt to you, that... Oh, that must be Walter Denton. He's driving me down to school. Come on in, Walter.
Try to sell him one for his mother, Connie. I'll get into the kitchen and rustle up some goodies for Walter's inner man.
Better get some for his outer man, too.
Greetings to the brightest star in the scholastic firmament.
It's a little early for me to twinkle, Walter, but sit down. You're going to have a bit of breakfast with us, aren't you?
Well, I might be persuaded to partake of a wee morsel if you coax me.
And if I don't coax you?
You couldn't be that cruel.
All right, then. What'll it be? French toast? Eggs? Griddle cake?
Fine.
Mrs. Davis?
Yes, Connie?
Walter's here. Vacuum the kitchen and bring in the bag.
I'll eat up a giant omelet for him, dear.
He's the little giant that can eat it.
You know, I don't know what's happening at home, but my mother just doesn't seem to be making the breakfast she used to.
Well, maybe she's just worn out.
Well, she does cook an awful lot of meals for us.
Of course she does, Walter. And while we're on the subject, how much thought have you given to her Mother's Day gift?
Oh, quite a bit. And I've come up with something that should show her how grateful I am for all she's done for me. I'm going to get her a present that'll make her forget the many menial and arduous tasks she performs in my behalf.
What's the present?
A bottle of sweet air for the kitchen. What do you think of the idea, Miss Brooks?
It smells.
I mean, it smells very pleasant. Of course, I'd like to get her something else, too, but on my allowance, unless my dad chips in, I couldn't afford much.
Walter, I have a suggestion for a gift that your dad will be happy to chip in for. Just look at the center of this table.
Holy cow, is it alive?
Certainly not. It happens to be a woman's hat.
A woman's hat? You're joking, of course.
Joking nothing. I'm wearing it to school this morning.
Say, that'd make a wonderful decoration for our dining room table at home. Mother always likes to have something gay and colorful in the center of the table.
That's what I say. It would make a wonderful decoration for your dining room table at home.
Wait up a minute, Miss Brooks.
Who's that?
It's me, Tex Barton. Howdy, ma'am.
Howdy, Tex.
You seem in a hurry, ma'am. Why, when I flagged you, you was barreling across this campus like a doggie that just smelled a branding iron.
Well, it's not that bad. Although I do have to see Mr. Conklin before class.
Well, I... Glory be to Sam Houston.
And hallelujah to Dave Dallas. What's up?
Miss Brooks, have you any idea of the activity that's going on up there in the upper regions of your anatomy?
What?
Skin me for a lizard if there ain't a sparrow eating apples off in your skull.
Well, now calm down, Tex. This is just a new style of hat.
A hat? Well, you could have fooled me.
By the way, Mother's Day is just around the corner. Have you decided on a gift for your mother yet?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about that, Miss Brooks, but it's kind of tough to figure out what it'd please, Mom.
Maybe I can help you.
Well, I doubt it, ma'am. For Christmas, Pa and I got her some brand new riding boots and stirrups. And for her birthday, we got her a pair of chaps and a Stetson. And for Easter, we decked her out in a spanking new box of saddle soap. So, you see, she's got just about everything a normal woman needs.
A normal woman who's competing in a rodeo, you mean. Look, Tex, a hat like the one I'm wearing would make a lovely gift, and it's only $10.
It sure is flashy, Miss Brooks, and Pa and I could afford that much, but there's a couple of things that have to be done to it first.
For instance?
Well, do you think you could make two holes in it?
Holes?
Yeah, uh-huh. So her ears could come through.
So her ears could come through? Tex, your mother must have a very low forehead.
Well, I wouldn't give it to my mother, Miss Brooks. I'd just be getting it for my mother to give to Lucy.
Lucy?
She's our horse. She sure will look beautiful in it.
I'm sure she will, Tex. You can pick up the hat at Mrs. Davis's today.
Today? When would be a good time, ma'am?
The same time you leave the $10.
But, Daddy, please be reasonable. There isn't time for me to pick out your Mother's Day gift.
I didn't ask you into my office to argue, Harriet. I should think you'd want to see your mother receive a nice present.
I do, Daddy, and I'm getting her one with most of my allowance. But your gift to her is something else again. She always expects something outstanding.
Well, obviously, my dear, she married me, didn't she?
Yes, but about other things, she's pretty particular. I mean, well, I wouldn't mind selecting something for you, but you always insist that I find a bargain.
There's nothing wrong with being frugal, Harriet. It's a bit... Come in.
Good morning, Mr. Conklin. Hello, Harriet.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Miss... Good grief! Something has alighted on your hair.
But, Mr. Conklin...
Don't stand there, Harriet. Get a net. Maybe we can trap it for our nature study group.
It happens to be a hat, Mr. Conklin.
It's very exciting, Miss Brooks. Now, if you'll excuse me, Daddy.
Very well, but I'll talk to you later, Miss Important.
Bye, Miss Brooks.
Mr. Conklin, knowing how fond of brevity you are, I'll come right to the point of my visit. Sunday is Mother's Day. How would you like to buy a hat like this for Mrs. Conklin?
For Mrs. Conklin?
Yes, don't you think she deserves something like this?
Well, she has been a source of great irritation on occasion. No, I'm not interested, Miss Brooks.
If I can sell one of these hats, it will help get me out of debt, Mr. Conklin. Besides, it's a real bargain.
I'm sorry, I'm definitely not in... Did you say a bargain, Miss Brooks?
Yes, sir, much cheaper than you can get it on the open market.
Where did you get it?
Let's just say I have access, Mr. Conklin.
These hats aren't hot, are they?
Hottest thing in town. Oh, you mean stolen? No, sir, they're not stolen. Although you could call them a steal at $10 each.
$10? For a few apples and a small sparrow?
It's evident, Mr. Conklin, that you haven't heard how meat and fruit have gone up. But think of how exclusive this hat is.
Well, for my wife, it would have to be, Miss Brooks. She has an absolute fanatic approach and on individualized apparel. She wouldn't be caught dead in anything that even resembled what someone else was wearing.
Mr. Conklin, when it comes to this hat, I give you my unqualified guarantee.
You do?
Absolutely. Believe me, she won't be caught dead in it.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream, it cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
While it cleans your teeth.
Colgate toothpaste.
Cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
While it cleans your teeth.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best. Yes, the Colgate way is the most thoroughly proved and accepted home method of oral hygiene known today. Over 2 years' research showed brushing teeth right after eating with Colgate Dental Cream helps stop more decay for more people than ever before reported in dentifrice history. The Colgate way stops tooth decay best. No other dentifrice, ammoniated or not, offers such conclusive proof. And you should know that Colgate's, while not mentioned by name, was the only toothpaste used in the research on tooth decay recently reported in Reader's Digest. So always follow the Colgate way to clean your breath while you clean your teeth. And stop tooth decay best.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream, it cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
While it cleans your teeth.
And the Colgate way, stop tooth decay best.
Well, by the time I was to meet Mr. Boynton at lunch, I had sold 3 of the 4 hats Mrs. Davis had made up. One to Walter Denton for his mother, to be used as a table centerpiece. One to Tex Barton for his horse, to be used as an eye shade. And one to Mr. Conklin for his wife, to be used, of all things, as a hat. I had the sample hat on when Mr. Boynton came over to our table.
Hello, Miss Brooks. Sorry I'm late. I couldn't get here any sooner.
That's all right, Mr. Boynton. Put down your tray.
Thank you.
Notice anything different about me today?
Different? Let's see. Well, for heaven's sake, I apologize for being late. You oughtn't to go to such lengths to chide me about it.
To chide you?
Well, yes, after all, this is a public eating place. You shouldn't balance your dessert on your head.
Dessert? Mr. Boynton, this happens to be a hat.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I'm afraid I dropped my cutlery.
You should be more careful, Mr. Boynton. That knife might have dented your meatloaf. Oh, I'm sorry I frightened you so.
Oh, I should be used to sights like this. When I was a kid, my mother always had some fantastic creations around the house.
Really? How many brothers and sisters did you have? Oh, you mean that? Well, may I remind you, Mr. Boynton, that Mother's Day will soon be with us?
Well, so will my mother. Yes, she's coming down this afternoon to stay through the weekend. Unfortunately, Dad has to stay home on business, but Mom and I are going to have a high old time.
Have you made all of your plans for celebrating the holiday, Mr. Boynton?
Yes, indeed. Oh, it's going to be one mad whirl for the both of us. I've got a 4-day itinerary all mapped out.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Well, on Thursday, I thought I'd show Mom the new wing of our public library. Friday, we'll do the Museum of Natural History, and Saturday, we'll have a go at the Botanical Gardens.
Wow.
Well, there's not going to be any let-up in the evenings, either. If we're not playing chess or checkers, I'll whip out the old domino set. By the way, can you think of anything that might add to the merriment, Miss Brooks?
Yes, but I think the morgue is closed on weekends. That is, I do have a suggestion that might be quite a surprise for your mother.
Oh, what is it?
Why don't you get her a nice hat? You said yourself that she used to like unique hats.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I'm not interested.
Oh, that's too bad, Mr. Boynton. It's a real bargain.
Well, I'd like to get her something, of course, but this is just out of... Did you say a bargain?
Never misses.
Where did you get the hat, Miss Brooks?
The truth is, I'm disposing of them for Mrs. Davis. They're only $10 apiece.
$10 apiece?
Get your jaw out of the potatoes, and I'll make it...
I guess we could arrive at some sort of a deal, Miss Brooks, but there's one thing of which I must be certain.
What's that?
Well, that my mother doesn't see any other woman wearing a hat like it. Mom's a fanatic on individualized apparel.
I'll sell her the very one I'm modeling today, Mr. Boynton. Bring her over to my place about 8:30 tonight, and we'll surprise her with it.
All right, but you're sure now that she'll be the only woman to have this particular hat?
While she's in town, your mother will be the only woman seen wearing this particular hat.
Good. I'm going to get myself some dessert now, Miss Brooks. Would you like me to bring something back for you?
Yes, I would, Mr. Boynton. I'd like a Coke. The 5-cent size will do.
Very well.
That's all I want right now, Mr. Boynton.
Okay.
Oh, here.
Thanks. I'll just be a minute, Miss Brooks.
Take your time, Sporty. Somebody's got to teach him that money isn't everything. Especially my money. Oh, well.
Hello, Miss Brooks. I thought I'd find you here. May I speak with you for a moment?
Oh, of course, Mr. Conklin. Oh,
thank you. Now, about that hat I agreed to buy for my wife, I want it to be a complete surprise. She mustn't see it until Sunday.
I'll say she mustn't. I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise if she did.
Now, there's one important factor we overlooked in our discussion this morning, Miss Brooks. I neglected to give you my wife's measurements.
Well, I'll take them right now. How far apart are your wife's ears?
How far apart are her ears?
Sorry, that was another customer. What is her head size?
Well, I don't know, but I'll find out this afternoon and check with you at home this evening. What would be a good time?
After midnight. That is, any time, sir, any time at all. Now, you must have many more important things to do, and I'll be happy to excuse you, sir, if you really have to dash away. I know how those things are. I've had things to do myself. I'm expecting someone...
Mr. Brooks. I don't quite comprehend this conversational St. Vitus dance you're indulging in. But if you're always this nervous during mealtime, it's a wonder you haven't got an ulcer.
Oh, I had an ulcer, Mr. Conklin. I had a nice big one 2 years after I began teaching school.
You did? How did you get rid of it?
I just couldn't afford to keep it.
I don't know what you're so jittery about, Connie. Everything's gone swimmingly so far. Walter Denton picked up the hat for his mother during lunch period.
I know, Mrs. Davis.
And Tex Barton came over right after school to get the specially prepared one you phoned me about. My goodness, but his mother must have long ears.
You ought to see his mother's mane. I mean, those aren't the ones I'm jittery about. It's Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton. I promised them both that they were buying a completely original creation.
Well, they are that, Connie. The fact that they're identical shouldn't bother you. After all, Mrs. Boynton will be leaving town right after Mother's Day.
Yes, but Mr. Boynton's bringing her here tonight to pick it up, and Mr. Conklin will want his wife's hat as soon as he gives me her measurements. But if he runs into Mrs. Boynton anywhere before Sunday...
Now, calm down, dear, calm down. When do you expect the Boynton?
Now! Now.
Well, I'll go make some tea and you let them in. Mrs. Boynton's hat is right on the hall table, Connie.
Thanks.
Well, here we are, Miss Brooks. You remember my mother.
I'll never forget her. Hello, Mrs. Boynton. Come in for a second.
How are you, Connie? It's been ages since I've seen you.
Oh, Mom couldn't wait to see her surprise, Miss Brooks.
Oh, then I'll get it for her right away. Meanwhile, just help yourself to some fruit on this hall table. That is, as soon as the sparrow gets through helping himself. That is, here's your new hat. How do you like it?
Well, it's certainly different.
Oh, I knew you'd love it. Well, now that you've seen it, I don't want to keep you and Mr. Boynton another minute. You must have lots to talk over, so don't stand on ceremonies. Just toddle right along, and I'll see you later in the week. Bye!
We're really in no great rush, Miss Brooks.
As a matter of fact, Philip suggested that we might spend the evening with you.
Oops!
I told Mom you'd jump at the idea.
I thought we'd play a few games of checkers, Connie. I'll never forget how exciting it was the last time we played. There was one crowning after another.
You ain't seen nothing yet. But I'm afraid I can't ask you to stay for checkers, Mrs. Boynton. Mrs. Davis has a splitting headache.
But, Miss Brooks, how could a game of checkers disturb Mrs. Davis?
Please, Mr. Boynton, if you were lying down with a headache, how would you like to hear someone constantly jumping in the next room? Now, you'll just excuse me.
That's the doorbell, isn't it? Maybe Miss Brooks has another engagement, Philip. Perhaps we'd better be leaving.
I wouldn't think of letting you budge from this house. Mr. Boynton, I insist that you take your mother into the living room and let her try on her checkerboard, a fruit bowl. Here, take it with you, dear. There's a wonderful mirror near the piano.
Well, if you're sure.
Never been surer. Go along, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, very well. It's right this way, Mother.
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Walter, what are you doing here? It's 12 hours until breakfast.
No, I have to bring the hat back, Miss Brooks. Aren't you going to ask me in?
Not if I can help it.
Well, only be a minute. It's important.
All right, but please hurry. What's the trouble, Walter?
Well, I showed my dad this hat you sold us for a centerpiece, Miss Brooks.
And he didn't like it?
No, he's crazy about it. But he wants a slight change made. He says if you'll wire it up so we can use it as a lamp, he'll give you an extra $3.
If he'll make it $5, I'll put in a motor and he can drive it to work. Get into the dining room immediately. Take the hat with you, quick.
Yeah, but Mr.
I'll explain later. Get going.
Okay, but I wish I knew what was happening around here.
Good evening, Miss Brooks. Well, I've got my wife's head measurements on this sheet of paper.
Thanks, Mr. Conklin. Good night.
Just a moment. There are a few things I have to tell you.
Yes, sir. Come in.
Thank you. I got these measurements from the milliner with whom my wife does quite a large business.
Mom would like a drink of water. Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, hello, Walker.
Well, I'll get it myself if you just tell me. Oh, I didn't know someone was with you, Connie.
Oh, there isn't. It's just Mr. Conklin. This is Mrs. Boynton, Mr. Conklin.
How do you do, Miss? What is she doing with my wife's hat on her head?
Your wife's hat, Mr. Conklin?
Philip, you didn't buy me the same hat Mr. Conklin bought for his wife, did you?
Oh, I didn't intend to, Mother. Miss Brooks, what seems to have happened?
Shouldn't happen to a sparrow. Look, folks, there's been a slight mix-up, but I'm sure it'll come out all right by Mother's Day. After all, there are only two of you wearing the hats, and you won't be seen together anyplace.
Well, that's true enough.
You do have a point there.
There's no air in that dining room, Miss Brooks. I didn't know you had company.
Oh, this is Walter Denton, one of our pupils, Mother. Walter, this is my mother.
Glad to know you, Walter.
Same here, Mrs. Boynton. Say, what are you doing with my mother's centerpiece on your head?
Your mother's centerpiece, Denton?
Oh, hello, Mr. Conklin. Yeah, my dad and I are going to have it changed into a lamp before we give it to her, though. See, we'll put the wire right through here, and then we'll take...
So, Miss Brooks, my wife and Mrs. Boynton are the only two people with these original creations. I'd give a lot to know just who else is wearing these assembly line special...
Oh, dear. Who is it?
What is that?
It sounded like a horse.
That's just what it is, our milkman's horse. You see, the milkman is sick, so the horse is making the rounds alone. Green today, Lucy. She's very clever.
She must be, to ring the doorbell by herself. Miss Brooks, open the door.
Yes, sir.
Howdy, Miss Brooks. Lucy and I were just eloping by, so I thought I'd show you how nice she looks in her new bonnet.
But, Tetch, you shouldn't have brought her right up to the front door like this.
What is going on here? Why is this beast sticking her head... Oh, God! Even she's wearing my wife's
and my mother's hat.
You mean they got the same hat she sold me for Lucy, Miss Brooks?
Yes, Tex, but...
Shucks, if I'd have known that, I'd have never bought it. Lucy's a
fanatic on individualized apparel, I know.
Miss Brooks, just what do you propose to do about these hats?
I'm going to take them out to our backyard and put them up in a tree.
A tree?
Yes, these hats are strictly for the birds.
Dean Barton returns in just a moment. Now, the case of the close scrape featuring Arthur Griffin, mail carrier. Here's what Mr. Griffin told us. Listen.
Here's exactly what happened. Shaving was just one close scrape after another for me, and then I discovered Palmolive Lather Shave Cream and a new, different way to shave. Palmolive's oceans of rich, thick lather ended my worries about scrapes, burns, and nicks. Why, even in cold or hard water, that Palmolive Lather way is super smooth, super comfortable.
Take Arthur Griffin's advice, men. The new Palmolive Lather way gets beards really soft, and it provides a protective film that actually floats your razor's cutting edge. You get a clean, close shave every time without worry about scraping or nicking, even in cold or hard water. Arthur Griffin and 1,200 other men tested Palmolive Lather Cream following package directions, and 3 out of 4 reported smoother, more comfortable shaves the Palmolive Shave Cream way, no matter how they shaved before.
Better get Palmolive Lather Shave Cream. Remember, even in cold or hard water, the Palmolive Lather way means smoother, more comfortable shaves.
Now, once again, here is Eve Arden.
What would you do to protect your family and yourself in case of a sudden atom bomb attack? It may never happen, but it could. Remember, you can survive an atom bomb attack if you know what to do. Get a copy of the official air raid instructions from your local civil defense organization. Or write to Superintendent of Documents, Washington, D.C., enclosing 5 cents in coin or stamp. Learn the instructions by heart and see that everyone in your family does, too. Be smart. Be prepared.
This is Vern Smith reminding you to tune in next week for another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Shave Cream, for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis and Arthur Alsberg, with the music of Wilbur Hatch.
Listen to this. With Marvelous Vel, V-E-L, you can save 90% of dishwashing work.
A quick soak in Vel suds gets dishes and glassware shiny clean. Even if a bit of food should cling, a touch with a dishcloth gets rid of it fast.
Yes, Vel's activated suds lift off and carry away food and grease. So all dishes need is a quick rinse and they dry sparkling without washing or wiping.
All pots and pans need is a soaking with Vel suds. Then you can wash them shiny clean without hard scouring.
What's more, Vel is a miracle of mildness. So get new Vel. Save 90% of dishwashing work.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast every week all over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe for automatic download at iTunes or find us on RSS. Next, we have a sitcom that was a real favorite for 10 years, from 1941 to 1951. Riley is a lovable schlub who is never in doubt, but often wrong. In this episode, he is honoring his wife on Mother's Day. But things never go smoothly for Riley. Enjoy The Life of Riley, first broadcast May 8, 1948, on NBC.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Prell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley, with William Bendix as Riley. Once a year, husband Chester A. Riley graciously steps aside to let the spotlight fall on his wife. That day is Mother's Day, and Peg Riley receives from her grateful husband and children a tribute she richly deserves. And so on this Mother's Day morning, although it is already 9 o'clock, we find Mrs. Riley not in the kitchen where she usually is, but still abed and about to be served breakfast by Riley and the children.
Good morning, Dumplin.
Good morning, Mother.
Morning, Mom.
Well, what is this?
Breakfast is served, madame. Here you are, Peggy. Your favorite dish, scrambled oofs.
Scrambled eggs. Oh, you shouldn't have done it.
Well, I didn't intend to. I tried to make fried eggs, but I dropped them from too high up.
Oh, it looks delicious.
Now, wait a minute, Peg. Before you start eating, we got something to tell you. Buff, are you ready, kids? Now, do it like I told you. One.
Oh, no, Pa.
Oh, let's not do it, Daddy.
Okay. I'll do it myself.
Do what?
M is for the million things you gave us. O is only that you're growing old. T is for the tears you shed to save us. H is for your heart of solid gold. E is for everything I left out. R is right, right you'll always be. Put them all together, they spell Peggy. A word that means the world to me.
Oh, Pop, do you have to be so corny?
Oh, he is not corny. I think it's very sweet.
Eat your breakfast, Dumplin', before it gets cold.
Dear, I can eat in the kitchen.
Oh, no, no. This is your day, Dumplin'. You're getting breakfast in bed. And you ain't going to wash no dishes today either. No, sir. Not while I'm around. I'll just pile them up in the sink and you can do them tomorrow.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, darling.
Mother, this is for you.
Oh, thank you, Beth.
Oh, gloves. Just what I needed.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, this is for you, too, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Why, Junior. Perfume. Oh, thank you, darling.
Yeah, and here, Dumplin'. This is for me.
Oh, flowers. Yeah. What a beautiful bouquet. Aren't they gorgeous, children? Oh, thank you, dear. My, you shouldn't have done it. Why, this bouquet must have cost a fortune.
Oh, no, it didn't. I got them... through a friend of mine who has connections with florists.
Oh, they're really... Well, what's this ribbon here?
Huh? What ribbon?
Well, there's something printed on it. Gone, but not forgotten. Oh, Riley.
Well, that's the last time I'll get flowers from Digger Odell.
I don't mind, dear. They're beautiful. And here, Angel, this present's for you.
For me? Oh, a box of cigars.
Happy Mother's Day, Riley.
Thanks. I knew you wouldn't forget me. Hey, you better eat your breakfast, Dumplin'. Your coffee's all cold. I'll go make some more.
Mom, why do you give Pop a gift every Mother's Day?
Well, that's a secret. Oh, you say that every year. Come on, tell us.
I better not. I don't think your father'd like it.
Oh, we won't let on, we know.
Oh, come on, Mom, spill it.
Well, it's really not such a dark secret, only... Well, you see, your father's not exactly a hero in the story. It happened 15 years ago when you were only a year old, Dad. Your father had a job as a milkman. We had a tiny little apartment in Brooklyn. And I remember one day your father came home with a strange look on his face.
Peggy.
Why, Chester, what are you doing home at this hour? Why aren't you working?
Well, I quit.
You quit?
Yeah. No more milk route.
Oh, Chester, why did you quit? You know how hard it is to get a job nowadays. Well, it took you months till you got this milk route.
Well, I know, Peg, but a man can only stand so much. And after what my boss did, I just had to quit to save my self-respect.
Well, what did he do?
He fired me.
Chester.
He said I wasn't selling enough milk to buy oats for my horse. That horse eats like a pig. Besides, how could I sell milk? Look at the route they gave me. Other drivers get residential districts where there's families and kids. Me, I get the beer-drinking set.
But you sold a lot of milk yesterday.
Only because I poured the milk into empty beer bottles.
Well, don't worry, dear. There are other jobs.
Well, where's the baby?
I just gave her lunch, and she's asleep in her crib.
Peggy, promise me one thing.
What, dear?
Promise you won't tell Babsy I got fired.
Riley, she's only 11 months old.
Yeah, I know, but she's smart. Remember, she's my kid. I wouldn't want her to know her father's a failure.
You're not a failure.
Yes, I am. Can't even hold a job. I've been married 2 years now, and what have I got to show for it?
You have a beautiful little daughter.
Yeah, but I wanted a son. I'm even a failure at that.
Now, you stop talking like that.
You should have married Sidney Monahan instead of me. Then you'd have had everything. Money, a home, a car.
I didn't want Sidney. I wanted you.
Well, that's where you made a mistake, throwing away all that. Just for my good looks. Peg, I got a job.
Oh, Chester, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I start tomorrow.
Oh, I knew you'd land something if you kept looking. Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, look. Look at little Babsy. She's glad, too. Itty Babsy Websy is glad Riley Potty is waking, huh?
Tell me all about it, dear. What kind of job?
Connected with baseball.
Oh, that's marvelous. You always wanted to be a baseball player.
Well, I'm not exactly a baseball player. You see, they got this canvas with a hole in the middle, and I put my head through it. You see?
Chester, you mean they throw at your
but once in a while they miss.
I won't let you do it. Now, that's final.
But we need money. The landlord's been here three times this month for the rent.
Chester.
Yeah?
Sidney Monahan dropped in today.
What? Well, he's got his nerve. What does that four flusher want here anyway? Don't he know you're married to me now? That wedding ring on your finger... That wedding ring in the pawn shop is sacred.
Oh, don't be like that. He just dropped in to see how we were, and he was very sweet. And he found out you didn't have a job. Well, he offered...
Nothing doing. I won't take no job from him. He can't come here.
Riley, he offered me the job.
What?
He said I could have my old job back as his secretary.
I forbid it.
Oh, but dear, it'd only be temporary, just till you get sick.
No, not even for a day. No wife of mine is going to go to work. What kind of a husband do you take me for? I got some pride left, you know. Before I ever let my wife go to work, I'd rather see you starve.
No, be reasonable, Riley. The bills keep piling up.
I won't let you go to work for that Sidney Monahan. I don't trust him. You think I forget how he used to chase you around the desk?
Well, he never caught up with me, did he?
No, but you ain't so fast since you put on weight.
It'll only be till you get a job.
Well, it's out of the question. Who'll take care of the baby?
Well, I thought my father could come in every day.
Your father? Oh, no. No stranger is going to look after my baby. I'll look after her myself.
Oh, then it's all settled. I'll phone
Sidney. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say you
but
could...
But, dear, you said you'd look after the baby yourself.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to... I just said it so that... I didn't want you... Trapped.
Oh, Riley, I got to go now. I'll be late. Now, you know what you have to do?
I know.
Now, don't forget... Give her a bottle of milk at noon, and she's got to have 3 drops of cod liver oil at 4 o'clock. She'll close her mouth, but you'll have to force it down her throat.
I know.
And watch out for open diaper pins, and... Riley, you're not listening.
I heard every word you said. Give her a bottle of cod liver oil at noon, 3 drops of milk at 4 o'clock, and force an open diaper pin down her throat.
Riley.
Well, you got me all mixed up. What are you so nervous about? I know how to take care of her. Now, go on.
Well, oh, all right. Goodbye, Babsy, darling. Be a good girl now. Oh, she sneezed. Maybe she's catching a cold.
Hey, will you stop worrying and go to work already?
Oh, well, all right. But if she gets a fever, phone me right away.
Okay. And if that Monahan gets a fever, you phone me.
Goodbye, dear. Now, see that she drinks all her milk.
Yes, I'll see that... Oh, these women are a pain in the neck.
Goodbye,
Riley. Oh, excuse me, Babsy. I forgot you was a woman. Now, drink up your milk while Daddy looks at the one ends. Here, I'll let you hold your little tin cup all by yourself. That's it. Oh, you're doing great. Now take a big, big swallow. Go ahead. That's a girl. Hey. Naughty, naughty. Mustn't spit milk in Daddy's eyes. Now you let Daddy read you the one here, huh?
I love it.
That's a good girl. Now, let's see. Accountant, bookkeeper, chauffeur. Hey, here's something. Young man wanted. Strong, willing, that's me, conscientious. Must be intelligent. Cook, doorman, elevator boy. Oh, there's lots of jobs today. Gee, if I didn't have to look after you, Hey, I could take you with me. Well, you like that, huh? Well, sure, why not? You might bring me luck. Oh, my feet, Babsy. Let's sit down on this bench a minute.
So,
you're complaining. How would you like to carry me around all day? Oh, what a day. We must apply for 20 jobs. I just can't connect... Boy, am I tired. Now, what do you want now? Here, play with your little cup. Now, here, honey, now be quiet. Oh.
Well,
what is it now? No, you can't have my nose. I need it to breathe with. Oh, Oh, you want a pencil? Well, here. No, no, only one.
Where's Diane?
Okay, okay, take both of them. Here. Now, be a good little baby and let Daddy rest a minute. So tired, my feet are just...
But, John, the dress was only $36, so I... Oh, John, look at that adorable baby. Isn't she the... Why, look, John. That little tin cup and those pencils.
Well, that's a new one. Using a baby to beg while the big bum sleeps.
Oh, I think it's pathetic. John, give them all the change you have.
Well, all right.
There you are, you little sweetheart. Look, John, she's offering you a pencil.
Holy smoke, he's got the kid trained.
You keep your pencils, darling. Come along, John. Oh, you see such terrible things on the street.
So I says to him, I says, look here, Lefty, this here is my territory, see, and you're muscling in. So he says, so what? So I says, so this. And I cracks his skull open it. Oh, look at the little baby with that thin cup. Ooh, what a cute little mooch here. Here, baby, here's a fin. Buy yourself a lollipop. Yeah, you know, Trigger, a thing like this breaks my heart. I'm just a softy. What was I telling you? Oh, yeah. So I cracks his skull open, then he pulls a gat on me, so what could I do?
Hey, what's the matter? Oh, I must have fallen asleep. What's that you got in there? Holy smoke, where did you get all this dough? $5. And all these coins. 5, 10, 15, 40, 41, 42.
All right, Mac. 46. Let's see your license.
Huh? What's the matter, officer?
You got a license?
License? What for?
For peddling.
Well, who's peddling?
I've been watching you with that cup there and those pencils.
Oh, well, I...
And where'd you get all that money?
Well,
you better come along to the station.
It wasn't me. It was the baby. The baby did it. She's money mad.
Oh, the baby did it.
Don't say a word, Betsy. Let me do all the talking.
So you had the baby begging?
Yeah, the baby? No!
This looks like a case for juvenile court. Come along.
No, wait, let go. I wasn't doing anything. I just happened to... When I woke up, I... Oh, my poor little baby, 11 months old, and she's a convict already.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
Oh, Ken, everyone's joining the parade for Prell, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube.
Of course, Prell's a leading favorite for two reasons.
First, you'll thrill to your first Prell shampoo because it brings out those natural, radiant highlights. Leaves your hair more radiant than any soap shampoo. And after a Prell shampoo, your hair curls better. It's easier to set, easy to manage.
Second, Prell removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes. Doctor's examinations proved it.
And there's nothing so handy as that Prell tube. No waste, no spill. Prell's easy to use.
It's economical, too. You use less, get more lather. So for hair soft and smooth, radiantly lovely, ask for...
P-R-E-L-L Prell Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L Prell Shampoo.
Buy Prell Shampoo. And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Mrs. Riley is telling the children about Riley's adventures as a babysitter with his own baby some 16 years ago.
Mother, you mean they actually arrested Daddy?
That's right.
Gosh, Pop in jail.
Well, it really wasn't jail. They had a hearing in the juvenile court. And I was there with Daddy?
You were the star witness, Babs.
And you didn't know anything about it?
Well, how could I? I was at work. Well, anyway, your father was brought up before this judge. And it looked very bad for him.
Order in the court, order in the court.
I'm trying.
Young man, one more outburst like that and I'll hold you in contempt.
Well, they're trying to take away my baby.
Nothing of the kind. Nurse Watkins here will merely hold the baby during this hearing.
Now, you better not try any funny business or I'll have you all arrested.
Young man, You obviously failed to realize the seriousness of the charge against you. Now, please answer my question.
Yes, sir.
Are you the legal father of this baby?
You bet it's legal. I got a marriage certificate to prove it.
This is no time for levity. You're charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Utilizing a baby for purposes of begging.
But I wasn't begging. I don't have to beg. I got a wife who's working.
How do you account for the money in the cup?
Well, how should I know? I fell asleep.
Oh, you fell asleep while this infant was in your care?
I just dozed off. I was tired.
I have grave doubts about your fitness as a father.
Oh, no. I'm a wonderful father. Why, that baby adores me. Honest, Judge, I'll prove it to you.
Doesn't want a Babs he wore for great big daddy.
Oh, now, please, Babsy. Show the judge how you love your daddy. Now, come on. Come on, let you play with my nose. Here. That's a good baby, you see.
Judge, he bit me!
I want a lawyer, and I want this baby charged with perjury.
Before the court arrives at a decision in this case, I'd like to see the mother of this child. Where is she?
In Monahan's office. Probably running around at desk.
What?
I mean, I can have her here in an hour.
Very well. Court's adjourned for 1 hour.
Well, come on, Babsy. We'll go get Mama.
No, you'll leave the infant here.
Oh, no, I can't do that. I wouldn't think of it. A little baby.
You'll be perfectly safe. Nurse Watkins is very competent.
Well, okay, you got me over a barrel. But before I go...
What are you writing there?
Here, sign this, Judge.
What is this?
It's a receipt for my baby. I don't trust nobody. That judge, who does he think he is, telling me I ain't a good father? I don't need him to straighten me out. It's none of his business.
You're right. That's my business.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker. Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
What are you doing in the courthouse, Digger?
Well, I've been serving on a jury. It's a new experience for me. This is the first time I've ever been in a box with 11 other people.
I'm in an awful jam, Digger. I just come from juvenile court.
Well, I was there last week to testify against a gang of hoodlums. They'd filtered a sign from a travel bureau and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Oh, I was frantic.
Why? What did the sign say?
Need arrest. Let us tell you where to go.
I had to go to court on account of my baby. They say I ain't a good father.
Oh, that is a vile slander.
They said I was gypping the public because I didn't have a license to peddle. You see, you got to have a license to gyp the public.
Why, that's outrageous. Riley, we must plan your defense. Do you have any character witnesses?
No.
I'll dig some up for you. And I'll get you my personal lawyer, Humphrey Higgins.
Good.
He's the official attorney for the NAM, the National Association of Morticians. Just watch how he cuts the ground out from under that judge. Oh, you'll adore Higgins. Crooks swear by him.
Well, then he's the man I want. So I gotta go get my wife and take her to the judge.
Then go. Find your dear spouse immediately. And don't worry, Riley. I'll get you out of this mess. I have influence in this town. Nobody carries more weight than I do. Well, cheerio, I have some spade work to do.
Peg! Peg! Oh, she ain't home yet. Oh, when she finds out her poor baby ain't here, I don't know what she'll do.
Papa, please don't talk like that.
I won't stand for it, Peggy. I won't have my daughter working to support her.
Just for a while, Papa. Oh, hello, Chester.
Oh, Peggy, I'm so glad you're home. Oh, your father's with you. Hello, Mr. Barker.
Don't talk to me, you lazy lout.
Oh, stop it, Papa. Papa met me at the office.
Riley, this can't go on. I will not have my daughter slaving in an office to support a shiftless, good-for-nothing baboon.
Oh, Papa, shh. You wake the baby.
Yeah, you wake the baby.
Now get your things, Peggy.
Wait a minute, where's she going?
She's coming home with me. Get your things, Peggy. I'll get the baby.
Oh, no, that baby stays with me.
Riley, get away from that door.
Oh, Papa, stop
it. You can't have that baby. I ain't letting that baby out of my sight for 1 minute.
Get away.
No, I won't.
Please,
get
Papa,
your hands.
Papa, stop fighting.
I will. Don't you touch that baby or I'll...
Where's the baby?
Riley, where's the baby?
Yeah, where's the baby? You're hanging an innocent man.
Riley!
Babsy. What happened? There's been an accident.
Oh, no, don't get excited, Peg. She's all right.
But where is she?
Where is that baby?
She's in jail.
In jail? Oh,
yeah, but don't worry. Look, I got a receipt.
Order in the court, order. What are all you people doing here anyway?
Your Honor, I'm the baby's grandpa.
Oh, I see. And who are you, sir?
I, sir, am Digby O'Dell. I'm here to help Riley get out of a hole.
Oh. Very well. Now let's get on. Mrs. Riley?
Yes, Your Honor.
You say you're employed during the day.
That's right, Your Honor.
And you leave your baby in the care of this, your husband.
Yes, but Riley's really wonderful with the baby. He's really a wonderful father.
It seems to me this whole problem would be solved if Riley could get a job.
I tried to, Your Honor, but...
He doesn't want to work. He's no good.
That's a lie. I looked everywhere. Why, I'd do anything for that baby. I'd even dig ditches.
Your Honor, Riley has just gotten himself a job.
You're willing to employ him, Mr. O'Dell?
Oh, yes, indeed. I could use a live man down at my place.
Very well, then. The case is dismissed.
Oh, thanks, Digger. Thanks, Judge.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
And Riley, I hope this has taught you a lesson.
Oh, yes, Your Honor. Believe me, I'll never try to be a mother again. I just ain't built that way.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. A shampoo headliner. That's Prell, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in a handy tube. From Rochester, New York, Mrs. Robert C. Blake writes,
I call Prell the perfect shampoo because it's done for my hair what I've long dreamed of. Now my hair is radiant, easy to do, and unsightly dandruff no longer a problem.
Yes, everyone agrees. Prell's a wonder for two reasons. One, leaves hair soft, smooth, radiantly lovely. Two, removes embarrassing dandruff quickly. Ask for...
P-R-E-L-L Prell Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L Prell Shampoo.
Well, that's the story. So every year on Mother's Day, I give him a box of cigars for being such a wonderful mother. Oh, Daddy sure was a character.
Boy, I'm glad you were born first, Babs.
Well, here's the coffee, little mother.
Oh, thanks, dear. Daddy, I just found out you owe me $5.
I do not. What $5?
Well, the $5 I collected in my little tin cup.
The five... Peg, you told him.
Come on, Daddy, $5.
Now, wait a minute.
He's right, Pop. You owe her $5.
Yeah, don't be such a wise guy. Maybe I did take that $5, Babs, but I gave it to the doctor for a down payment on you. And if I ever pay him the $95 balance, we'll own you outright.
Folks, this is Ken Niles, happy to announce that over 5,500 retail florists, all subscribers to Telegraph Delivery Service, Flowers by Wire, have voted Mrs. Riley radio's favorite mother. Congratulations, Paula Winslow, for your fine portrayal of Mrs. Riley. And remember, there's still time to remember your favorite mother with flowers on Mother's Day. Procter & Gamble invite you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Alan Lipscott and Reuben Schiff. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger O'Dell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker. And remember, for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L, Prell Shampoo.
In the factory. On the farm. In the home.
Hey, Mom, where's the lava soap?
Yes, Mom, Dad, Junior, all need lava soap to get dirty hands really clean. With a quick lava wash-up, all dirt is off and down the drain. There's no dirt left on hands to streak nice towels. 50,000 tiny scrubbers in every inch of Lava's snowy lather. Get deep dirt from skin crevices, between fingers, around knuckles and nails. Get the stubborn dirt ordinary wash-ups miss. And hands are sparkling clean in 30 to 50 seconds. Mothers know Lava is wonderful for cleaning children's grimy hands, knees, elbows. Mrs. Catherine Delaney of Boonton, New Jersey says,
"You should see how dirty my youngsters get. But Lava gets them clean from head to toe in no time. Yet does it gently."
Remember that, folks, and get the soap that gets the dirt. Get Lava soap.
And this is Ken Niles reminding you to listen again next week when Prell brings you The Life of Riley. And now, stay tuned for Truth or Consequences. Good night.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Each week we find gems from the golden age of radio for our listeners' enjoyment. We loved celebrating Mother's Day with you this year and hope you will tune in again next week when we wow you with another entertaining bit of history. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.